time when we left the curse.
So for Parshas Tazria, normally we have a double parsha, Tazria Mitzora, and there are four different sets of double parshios, and the Gemara establishes that the reason for those double parshios on a normal year is in order to guarantee that we'll be able to fit in Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos. And that creates a wedge between Bechukosai, which is Klolos, and Shavuos, which is a kind of Rosh Hashanah. In a Ibriyar like this year, we don't double up the Parshios because we have an extra month. So there are four double Parshios, but there are 4 weeks that are in Adar Beis. So we have now the four. So everything fits into place. We can have four extra parshias without doubling them up, and you have that extra month for that, and you'll still get Bamidbar in before Shavuos. That's the plan. But on a normal year, as I said, you have these twin parshios, and in each case you have to kind of indicate or study how the two parshias are two sides of a coin. So, just to give you one example, perhaps the simplest example would be Achrimos Kedoshim, where in Achrimos the Torah would go through the Arayos, and then in Kedoshim the Torah is going to tell you the various punishments for the Arayos and so forth and so on. In Tazria Mitzor we have something very similar. We have Tazria, which presents the four categories of Negoyim, and the punishments and the purifications are given in Parashas Mitzora. And these are two sides of a coin. Now, when you talk about Tazria, you talk about all the details, the requirements and the regulations to establish a Tumas Negoyim in the various four forms of Tumas Negoyim. But when you get to Parashas Mitzora, then you're talking about what I call the rectification of the sin, the tikkun of the sin, the kapara process, the tshuva process. Now, the first step in any study of Parashas Mitzora has to be, what is the chet that requires purification? So we have a Gemara in Erechim. It's the most famous Gemara about Negoyim. And the Gemara says, Kol ha-misaper loshen hara, Negoyim boyim olav. Mai dechsiv zos tia toras ha-mitzora, zos tia toras ha-motzi shemra. So the entire parasha of Tzoras has to do with misuse of the power of speech. To defame someone, to speak derogatory about someone. And that's what Tzoras is all about. We could add that according to some Rishonim, Tzoras is not even a physical ailment. It's just a sign on the body. It's a metaphysical sign that comes in a miraculous, supernatural way. That's Parshas Tazria. Now we fast forward to Parshas Mitzora, which in a normal year we'd be reading this Shabbos. And the Torah says, Zos tia Torah samitzora biyom ta'araso v'huva el ha-kohen. So now we're ready for the karbon, now we're ready for the kapora, now we're ready for the tara process. So in this particular essay from Rav Pinchas Friedman in Shvilei Pinchas, he offers two different approaches to answer one very peculiar phenomenon about the process of tikkun or tahara in the case of a mitzora. There's something very strange that's going on, which makes the carbon of mitzora absolutely unique. And it breaks all the rules. And this is what we call the shtei tziporim. There are other aspects of the purification process that I've spoken about in the past, That has to do with the Eitz Erez and the Ezel. The Eitz Erez being the cedar tree, you know, representing Gaiva, and the Ezel, which is called the Hyssop or Hyssop, and that's the lowest branch, and that represents Anova. But today we're going to focus on a different dimension, which again is very odd, very peculiar, and that's the Shtei Tziporim. So let's read the Pesukim. You'll see this on the bottom right. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemer, Zos tia Torah samitzora, biyom ta'arosa, v'uvel ha-kohen, v'yotza ha-kohen el chutz l'machne. So everything depends upon the Kohen, both in terms of being metamei betumis negoyim, he's got to declare tomeiyah, and in terms of the Torah process, he, the Kohen, is in charge of bringing the mitzora back into the Yishuv by declaring him tar. So now he the Kohen has to go chutz l'machne, and many of the Farshim say that what that means is that the Kohen represents the only social connection between the Mitzora and society, because otherwise the Mitzora is totally isolated and quarantined. It also means that the Kohen will expose himself. If you go with that shita, that tzaras is leprosy and it's very contagious. And then the hine nirpa nega tzaras min atzarua. So all the simone tuma have terminated, and now we're ready for tara. V'tziva koin v'lokach lamitaher shtei tziporim chayos tahoros. So these are two live birds, kosher birds. Then we're fast forwarding a little bit. V'tziva koin v'shachar es hatzipor ha'achas el klicheres al mayim chayim. So the dam of the shchuta of that bird that's slaughtered is collected in a kli cheres. V'tzipor ha'chaya, then there's another bird which is alive and will remain alive. And that bird, v'tovel osam es tzipor ha'chaya b'dam ha'tzipor ha'shchuta. So we now dip the bird into the dam. And the question is what the shear is. That's not for us. And then what do we do with the bird after we dip it in the blood? V'shilach es ha'tzipor ha'chaya al pnei ha'sodeh. And now the tzipor ha'chaya remains alive. And this is very strange. Why is it very strange? The Ramban, in his introduction to Vayikra, gives us a little bit of an insight. We've spoken about it many times, to the mechanics of korbanos. How do korbanos create a kapara? And to some extent, the Ramban is the author of all the books on Tumah V'Tahara, on korbanos and how korbanos works. Meaning, he was the one who made the breakthrough, especially with regard to korbanos. And I don't think anyone after the Ramban has done anything but just stand on the shoulders of the Ramban and embellish the Ramban. The Ramban goes into great detail about every nuance and every part of the ritual of bringing a korban, and how the owner of the korban achieves a certain state that is mechaper, that purifies him. And he speaks about man making an impact or acting on three different levels: b'machshava, b'dibur, u'b'maisa. And when he brings his korban, all these three dimensions come into play. First, he does the action of smicha. That's his only action, because all the other maisim are done by the Kohen. But the Bala korban does one action, and that's smicha. That's connected maisa. Then he has to recite vidui, and that's connected dibur. And then the entire process of the korban after vidui requires machshava. And now the Yisrael, the Bilam, is sort of standing over his karbon, and every single dimension of the Avodas HaKarbon is meant to bring him in his machshava to a state of tara, to a state of rectifying his sin. So, for example, the kerev and the kloyos will be burnt on the mizbeach. They represent the taiva, the desire of a person. The kraim are also brought on the mizbeach. That's connected to the yadayim and the raglayim, with which man goes out and does various sins. The zrikas adam represents the nefesh of the person who sinned. And basically, the theme, the thesis of the Rabban is that when a karbon is brought, a person who brings the karbon, who violated a sin, should see himself as he deserves to be on the Mizbeach, because as Yechezkel HaNavi says, a nefesh achotas tomus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to accept a replacement instead of the guf and the nefesh of the chote, whose blood should be spilled on the Mizbeach, and whose physical body should be burnt. Chesed abore shalokach mimenu tmura, that Hashem receives in exchange, a replacement. And that's the kiper ha-karbon. That's the kapora of the karbon. It's domo tachas domo. It's nefesh tachas nefesh. It's roshei evrei ha-karbon keneged roshei varov. And at every step of the avos ha-karbon, the Baal imagines that this is what should be his fate. So therefore the concept of Misa is very appropriate. The animal is going to die as a replacement for the man who should die, because Nefesh HaChotas Hi Tomus. So let's swing back to the Mitzorah. If the Mitzorah is bringing a karbon, it makes a lot of sense that the first bird should be slaughtered, because that's the message, the kapara message to the chote, to tell him that he deserves to die. But what about the second bird, which we leave alive, and we dip it in the blood of the first bird, and then we send it al pnei asada? What are we meant to derive? What message is this meant to convey to the Mitzorah that could bring him to a state of kapara and tara, that could somehow cathartically purify him of the sin? And as we said at the outset, the sin is the sin of Lashon Hara. What is the purpose and the message inherent in the second bird? This question becomes even more significant in the context of Rashi, because Rashi addresses the question, why Tziporim? Why in this karbon that's going to bring the Mitzorah back into society and purify him, why does the Torah single out birds? Lefisha negoim boim aloshen horosh u'maisa pitpute dvarim. The bird, more than any other creature, other than man, I guess you'd say, represents constant chirping, constant talking. Maybe if you were Shlomo HaMelech, you could understand what the birds were saying. But the birds are constantly using their voice. That's called tziftzufei kol. And Rashi says, lefichach huzkiku litaroso tziporim. He was guilty of pitpute dvarim. He misused his power of speech. Therefore, in order for him to purify himself, there has to be tziporim. So the tzipor, that's always mefakpet, is meant to remind the mitzora of his sin, to get the mitzora aroused, awakened to do tshuva for the sin of pitpute dvarim, of using his mouth in a way that's not only idly and frivolous, but it's even defames another person and could chas shalom psychologically murder another person. So once again, we come back to that question, just to reiterate, from Rashi's perspective, If the context of choosing a bird for his tara is pitputei dvarim, so we can understand why we shecht the first of the two birds, and that means that you misuse your power of speech, and therefore you should die. Instead, we're gonna take the life of the bird. But when we get to the second bird, which we allow to live, well, how is that a carbon kapara? If the whole essence of the carbon kapara is the death of the bird or the animal, as we saw in the Ramban, that really nefesh achotas, Thomas, you deserve to die. Instead, Hashem, in His compassion, is willing to take the animal's life instead of your life. Well, why not shech the second animal, the second bird as well? If he's guilty of a sin, and now we want to bring him kapara, and the kapara is through misa, then both birds should die. Why only one bird? And the rest of this essay is a presentation of two approaches, two different answers to this question. The first answer is offered by Rabbi Yeshua Mibels. And as I mentioned to you numerous times, Rabbi Pinchas Friedman is the Rosh Kollel in Bells. So when he prepares himself, the first thing he has to know is the Torah of Bells. I mean, then he can go on. But first he has to know Bells. So the reason I like Bells is only because I married into a Bells family. But beyond that, what does the Bells of Rebbe have to say about these two tziporim? And he comes up with a very fascinating insight. We talk about misuse of the power of speech, and we identify that with Lashon Hara, with Motzi Shemra, with all sorts of negative comments that come out of a person's mouth, because we tend to use our mouth loosely, without thinking. And as Joe mentioned before, we're in election period here now. It's horrible what goes on here. It just doesn't pay to read the news, because 90% of it is all about Lashon Hara. So thank God we don't have any mitzoras here. But but there's another way of speaking about the sin of the mouth. That's not bikuvase, that's not because you actively speak negative words, but rather that's because of shevi altase, because you don't use your mouth when you should be using your mouth. For example, let's say there's a communal issue, and you have the ability to stand up and gather the troops, and you fail to do so. You could be a giver of tochacha. Let's say you could be the rabbi of a community. You could speak words of rebuke and chastisement. You can uplift the people and inspire them, and you fail to do so. You've taken the potential of speech and you've wasted it away. You squandered it. Or, for example, you could learn Torah, and you could daven, and you're guilty of not doing so, or at least not doing so enough. God gave you a tremendous, massive potential, and you barely reached the potential. So he says, "Kama diyonshim da'ay barnash begin mila begin to pogim lu beravcha demela." He says that there's something called the ruach memalala, which is the Targum Onkelos on the pasuk Vayipach biapav nishmas chayim. And how did you use that Ruach Memala, which is the unique gift that God bestows upon man? The intellect of man expresses itself in speech. And just like there's a punishment for someone who misuses and abuses his power of speech, because that's a pagam in the Ruach Memala, that great gift that defines man's uniqueness, so too, if a person has the possibility of speaking and using his speech in a positive way to uplift, etc., who yachol adaber lo chiachos of vishasik, and he's quiet v'lo diber, that silence is also a misuse of the power of speech, or the lack of use of the power of speech, which is a great gift. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yeshua Belzer, we bring two tzipporim. One tzipor is shechted, and that's a kapara for the wrong kind of a speech, what we call pitputei dvarim and diburim betelim itself with lashon hara, and that we have to slaughter because we want to teach him and warn him that he could be guilty of a cardinal sin over here by misusing his speech, and he could deserve to die. But now we have a new insight and an answer to our question about the second tzipar, the tzipar achaya. Her kapara is because of the non-fulfillment of the potential that man has to speak divrei Torah, to give tochachos, and instead he was silent. So we say that silence is golden, but silence is not always golden. Sometimes the Torah commands us and expects us to use our power of speech. So now we leave one bird alive. We send it al pnei asada. We are now conveying a message to the Metzora that he too, like the bird that travels from one place to the other, because we send it al pnei asada, he should travel from place to place, look for opportunities to teach Torah and to give Musar and Tochacha, look for new opportunities for tefillah, for prayer. And that is imitating the live bird. And here we're saying, you know what, live up, or shall we say, imitate and follow in the footsteps of the live bird and do something with your power of speech. Spread it around from place to place. And a similar idea Rabbi Shua Belzer we find in the great giant, the Sfas Emes, here in Parashas Metzora. And he quotes Rashi that the phenomenon of the Goyim is a punishment for the sin of Lashon Hara, and the reason for the Tzipora is Pitputei Kol, because they're always chirping. And this, he says, Rashi finds a source in the Zohar. Hanigoyim boim al mila busha bisha. The Goyim come as a result of bad speech, of negative speech, when you're derogatory. Valmilin tavin, interesting. Now we're talking about good speech, but almilin tavin, the osi liyade, he had the opportunity to use the speech properly. Velo malil, he didn't speak. And hechshiti mitov ukev nechar. So he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. This you'll find on page 2. Moves v'chayim v'yad aloshon. You can use your speech and kill someone, or the opposite. You can use your speech and save someone. That's called chayim. Chayim is also v'yad aloshon. So the koach, the potential of loshon is so great, it could, on one polar extreme, it could kill. On the other polar extreme, it can save. And instead, he was silent when he could have saved someone, when it could have been chayim b'yad aloshon. You know, very often people think, I can stand on the sidelines. When I was brought up in America, the most famous popular phrase, the motto of America, was mind your own business. Like if you ever read the stories about, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, a woman is accosted on a subway in London, and all of a sudden you find that every single British person in the subway is reading his newspaper like this, minding his own business. But the Torah says, "Lo tamid al dam riecha." So there's a sin in non-action, in omission, not just commission, but omission. And the pasuk says, "V'dibarta bam." The Torah is commanding us to speak. And we derive two things from that pasuk, "V'dibarta bam." On one side, we derive a negative, what we call an iser essay, or lava bamachal essay. Hasach sicha betel, if he wastes his speech in frivolous, meaningless talk, over the essay, violates a lava bamachal essay, "V'dibarta bam v'lo b'dvar macherim." But moreover, there's also vidibarta bam, which is a positive command. Use your power of speech. Learn Torah. Learn a sugi with a chavrusa. Speak about the Torah. Transmit it to others. And that's vidibarta bam. So we now have two tziporim. They're really each respectively coming to rectify a different sin. The shchuta is coming to uproot the sin of Lashon Hara and Dvar Betelim, of Vidibarta Bam Velo B'Dvar Macherim, and the live bird is going to be sent out, and that idea of sending it out means transmitting your messages, utilizing your power of speech in the most positive way. And if you're guilty of that crime, then you need a kapara, and you need a process of purification for that sin as well. Ad kana kofa aleph. The balance of this essay, which I call akofa beis, is to offer another answer, a whole new, fresh answer, to explain why there are two tziporim, one shchuta, one chaya, which is sent al pnei ha'asod. And we begin with the Medrash here in Vayikra Rabbah in Parashas Mitzora. Zos tia toras ha-mitzora. Om Rav Yishu ben Levi. Chamesh toros ksuvos b'mitzora. Five times the word Torah, in one form or another, repeats itself in the Parsha in Mitzora in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel. Number one, Zos Toras Negat Tzoras. Number two, Zos Tia Toras HaMetzora. Number three, Zos Toras Asher Bo Negat Tzoras. Number four, Zos HaTorah L'chol Nigei HaTzoras. And finally, number five, Zos Toras HaMetzora. Zos Tia Toras HaMetzora. Five times the word Torah is repeated. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hamotzi Shemra, Melamdecha Shekola Omer Lashon Hara, Over Al Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The number five, the repetition of the word Torah in the context of Mitzvah five times over, symbolizes the five books of the Chumash, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And the person who is guilty of the sin of Lashon Hara has violated all five books. Lefichach Moshe Mazirus Yisrael Zos Tia Torah Samitzor. In other words, the power of speech is so profound and so essential that it represents the Torah itself. The five Chumashim of Torah represent the good power of speech and rejecting its opposite, the negative power of speech. And therefore, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's up against the entire Torah. Because Moshe is telling us, Zos Tias Torah Samitzorah. He's identifying the Torah with the Mitzorah with Torah, not once, but five times over. Now, what's the connection here between Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Lashon Hara? Okay, it means that Lashon Hara is very essential, it's very critical, it's the part of the essence of Torah. But is it more profound? Take a look, for example, at the Medrash Rabbah in Brachos that says, Kol Omer Lashon Hara, Over Al Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Lashon Hara is a violation of the five books of Moses. Why is that so? So in order to appreciate that, we go back to the beginning. What is man? Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'odom, ofar min adoma, vayipach biyapav nishmas chayim, vayihi ha'odom lenefesh chayim. Man becomes a nefesh chayim. Rashi says, what's a nefesh chayim? Af behema, v'chayim nikro nefesh chayim. What makes man unique? Ach zo shel odom chayim, Shebekulon, Shenitvasev Bo Dea Vidibu. The Torah wants to give us the example of Adam as a Nefesh Chaya, because even though Behemoth is also called a Nefesh Chaya, but man is called a Nishmas Chayim. What does man have superseding the animals? Nitvasvu bo Dea v'dibur. Dea v'dibur. So again, Vayihi Adam l'nefesh chaya, the Targum says, Ruach memalala, and that's the power of speech. This is what endows man with the uniqueness that makes him superior to the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom could also be called nefesh chaya, but only man is endowed with the power of speech. And that's called Ruach memalala. Okay. So the Ramban says, based on Unkelus, that the neshama, which God blows into the body, is the source of man's koach hadibur. And here's the Ramban's language: V'zos ha-nefesh ha-maskeles asher nofcha Hashem bi'apov hoisa bo l'nefesh midaberes. That man is a nefesh maskeles, meaning he's endowed with intelligence, but moreover, the neficha of the neshama is bi'apov, is to give man not only intelligence, but the koach hadibur. So we start with Dea, and then we go up to Dibur. And that's what we mean when Rashi means, when he says that man is superior to the animals, because Nitvasef bo Dea v'dibur. Dea referring to Maskeles, Seichel, and Dibur is the endowment of Ruach Memalal, of being a Nefesh, of being a Nefesh Chaya. Ruach Memalal. So there's a famous story, I think we've spoken about in the past, about Rav and Rav Zera. Rav created a human being using Tzirufei Shemos from Sefer Yetzira, and he sent this human being to Rabbi Zera. It sounds like the story of the Golem of the Maral Prague. And it's exactly similar to the Golem, because it's a man-made man, but again, it's very limited. How is it limited? Rav Zera, when he receives this Golem, he starts talking to him, and he gets no response. Finally, he came to the conclusion that this being doesn't have a koach hadibur. So Rav Zera said, you know, I can guess where you came from. Min chevraya, mean from one of our friends, one of our colleagues, who created you. But he said, if you don't have the power to speak, then chazor li'afra, hador li'afracha, go back to Afar, because you don't have any purpose. You're speechless because you don't have the power, that power that defines nishmas chayim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could instill in man a nishmas chayim. Man cannot create another being that has the koach hadibur. Now comes along the Baal Lashon Hara, and let's see what he does with this great endowment called the koach hadibur. We go back to the Arizal, the famous statement that God created the world in order to be meitiv lebruav. He wanted to give and bestow goodness. So therefore we assume that according to the Ari's premise, when a person is endowed, when man is endowed by God with a nishmas chayim, a ruach memalal, the koach hadibur, that's a great gift because God wants to be meitiv. And what do we do with this gift? God gives us this gift of speech with a challenge. It's both an opportunity and a challenge. Royally, Adam lishtamish im koach hadibur kedei lehetiv lacherim. The greatest level or endowment of man is when he does good for others. He doesn't take everything for himself. He wants to better his fellow man. That's what the power of speech is for. that we, each and every one of us, could benefit, because again, God created man in order to give him benefits and give him hatava. The hatava that we have is that others will speak in a positive way about us. And not only that, others will use their speech in order to help us to improve our lot. And instead, what does this person, this Baal Lashon Hara, do? Instead of using that speech to bring goodness and to continue Hashem's being made to, he abuses the power of speech, speaks Lashon Hara, and therefore he is really in effect undermining the very essence of man. Because when God created man, in order to be meitiv lacherim, he gave man, endowed him with the power of speech in order to be meitiv lacherim, do good for others. And now this man comes along and misuses that great power of speech, and he speaks negatively about other people. So that really undermines the essence of man, because God, in order to create man and be meitiv with man, created man with the power not only of day, of intelligence, but also of dibur, of speech. That's what defines man, because that's how man could now pass on the goodness, share it with others. That's what he should do with his lashon, with his power of speech. But instead, what happens here on the part of the Metzorah Nebuch is that he misuses the power of speech, when there's so much great potential in the power of speech. And instead he speaks Lashon Hara, which is the exact opposite of why God created man. And therefore when David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ya'isha Chavetz Chaim, O'ev Yomim L'Ros Tov, Nitzol Shon Chomeira, Usva Secha Vidar Mirma, he is establishing what we call Shmirat HaLashon, that we have to be very careful about what comes out of our mouth. That is the Nishmas Chaim that we've been granted as a tremendous gift, but now we have to live up to that challenge and make that gift absolutely meaningful. Ki Hashmira al Adibur Shemekoro b'Nishmas Chaim Mosifa liyodam Chaim. When the Pasuk says Miyesha Chavetz Chaim and the Tzor Lashon Chomeira, it means that if we fulfill the Tzor Lashon Chomeira and we're careful about what comes out of our mouth, then we get more chayim. Why? Because mi ha'isha chafetz chayim nitzor lashon chomeira. Chayim means we link up with the source of all life, with a capital S, the source of all life, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says, I've given you this power of speech as a great gift. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to continue the process of being meitiv lacherim, which is the purpose for which Hashem created the world? Can you do that? Or are you going to cut yourself off from the Makor HaChayim and you're going to bring death into this world? Because as Shlomo Melch said, we saw it before, HaMoves VaChayim B'yad HaLashon. So you have the power of life. You have the power of bringing chayim into this world. You have the power of bringing goodness, lehetiv lacherim. All this is inherent in the great gift of speech. And instead, you did the opposite. You brought maves into this world. And as you and I know, defaming a person is almost like killing him. So now the Gemara in Erchin, that Lashon Hara really is a death for three individuals. Number one, it kills the Mesaper. Number two, it kills the person about which it was spoken. And number three, it kills the person who listens to the Lashon Hara. So that's the what's called in the language of the Gemara Erchin, Kotil Tlisoi. Now you might ask, why is it that the person about whom you spoke is also included in this trio? And first and foremost, it means because he's been defamed, so that brings about a misa. But I think it might also mean that the person about whom the Lashon Hara was spoken is probably a little bit guilty of something or other. Maybe it's not absolutely true, but again, if it's not absolutely true, it would be Motzi Shemra. In Lashon Hara, it's true. And in that sense, the person about whom the Lashon Hara was spoken is also one of the three guilty partners over here. To a lesser extent, but to some extent. Eile told us Hashamayim v'aretz bihi baram, says Rashi, behei bra'am. If the Baal Lashon Hara is in effect undermining the whole essence of creation of man, because man was created with this wonderful endowment of the power of speech in order to be mative lachem, and he does the opposite, then in effect what he's undermining is the whole purpose of creation. And the purpose of creation is embodied in the Torah itself. Behi bar'am, says the Medrash, behei bra'am. And the Zohar embellishes this, and he says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the letter He. And this He is meant to be a message to the five books of the Torah. Hashem created the world bihi bara, meaning for the sake of the He, which is the five chumashim. So Zeh Sefer told us Ha'anam means that this Sefer, which has five books to it, which is used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the blueprint to create the world, is that's the Ikar, that is the most powerful tool that leads to creation. That's the Sefer, that's the Hibaram, that's the five books of Moses. These are the five Sfarim which justify the entire creation of the world. And therefore, we would expect that if a person in a sense contradicts the creation, the purpose of creation, like the Baal Lashon Hara that we said he takes Chayim and makes it into Mavis, then he's really undermining the five Chumashim. Hence, we understand the statement in the Medrash that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, then he's basically desecrating the entire Torah and all five Chumashim. And you'll see this clearly in a paragraph that starts Omnam. Okay. Now, he quotes the Apta Rav in a paragraph that starts Omnam. And he says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a hey. That's called Behi Bar'am, Behi Bar'am. In other words, this represents the power of speech. It's like the five vowels, you know, A, E, I, O, U. In other words, when the mouth is used to speak, there are five different ways, you know, the mouth works, you know, because, you know, each vowel, which is called Motzos Peh, you know, forms a different way that you use the mouth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with a hey, as we saw, Behei Bar'am. And this means, according to the Ohr of Yisrael, that he gave man five Motzaos Peh. And that's the purpose of creation. These five Motzaos Peh include all 24 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, of Lashon Kodesh. Meaning every one of those letters can be subsumed under one of the five Motzaos Peh. And therefore, when it says Vihine Behei Bar'am, Behei Motzos HaPeh, is Vayipach V'yapav Nishmas Chayim, it means that the essence of creation is to endow man with these five Motzos Peh. Yadua Ki Olam HaZeh Nivra Behei, Tetsiv Vihi Bar'am, V'Darshu Chazal Behei Bar'am, Shehu Diburo, Kaviyachol Behei Motzos HaPeh. He HaTorah, Shal Yidei HaTorah, Nivra Kol, Kemaymer Chazal, B'Zor, Estakol Boraisa, U'Bara Alma. So it comes out like this. There are two different explanations as to what it means, Behei Bara'am. One is that the Hey refers to the five different Chumashim, and the other is that the Hey refers to the five different manners of speech, the Motzos HaPeh. But in truth, the Shvilei Pinchas argues, these are really one and the same. Both these commentaries and understandings can be integrated into one whole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a hey. This is a remnant for Chamishi Chumshei Torah. And at the same time, this is a remez for the Hey Motzel Saper, because the Torah is going to teach us how to use our power of speech, how to use the Hey Motzel Saper. And therefore the Torah, which is made up of 22 letters, is divided up into five categories, five Motzel Saper. And if a person misuses the Motzel Saper, he's basically undermining the whole purpose of creation. And now we quote a Medrash, Eile Dvar Masher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael, Moshe Atchelo Zocha LeTorah, Ksiv Bei. Now going to page 3. Ksiv Bei Lo Ish Dvar Manochi, Kevan She Zocha LeTorah, Nisrape Lashono, Vehizchil LeDaber Dvarim, Minayim Mimashe Karinen Bei, Be'inyan Eile Dvar Masher Diber Moshe. So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu finally was cured from his disease, and therefore he was able to recite the book of Dvarim. So Moshe says, Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi. But once he was Zocher the Torah, now he became an Ish Dvarim, and he began to speak. Eila Advar Masher Diber Moshe. Now, why do we have to wait until Eila Advar Masher Diber Moshe? That's in the fifth and final of the Chumashim. Is Pele Me'achar Shemoshe Ben Nisrape Miyad Achri Kabbalas HaTorah Madua Ramas HaKosuv? Why do we find an allusion in the Pasuk that the Dibur came back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but when? Only at the end of his life, the end of his career, in Sefer Dvarim. Eile HaDvarim Asher Dibur Moshe El Kol Yisrael. And at that moment, Moshe receives his power of speech in a perfect way. And he is now healed from his difficult speech impediment. Now, well, we could say the following, that since the Chamisha Chumshei Torah parallel the five Motzos Peh, so therefore in Sefer Dvarim, when we finally get to the last of the Motzos Peh, because again, each one of the Chumashim represent one or the other of the Motzos Peh. So when we get to Sefer Dvarim, we have the fifth. Is therefore in Sefer Dvarim, the Torah indicates that in the Schus of Kabbalas HaTorah, that has five Motzos Peh, Nisrape Moshe will be healed. And this is what the Pasuk means, Eila Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. So let's just summarize. What we have here is that God creates man, and the purpose of God creating man according to the Ari is to bestow goodness on man. And what's the greatest goodness that God can bestow upon man is to give him the five Motzos Peh, which means the Ruach Memalala of the Nishmas HaAdam. And the five Motzos HaPeh represent the five Chumashim of the Torah. Each one of the Sfarim is parallel to one or the other of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And now we can begin to understand that when God creates the five Chumashim, then what he's creating in effect is the five Motzos HaPeh, which divide up into 22 letters. And all this is inherent in the Hey Behi Bar'am, and all this is meant to explain to us what the severe nature of the Metzorah sin is. Kol Omer Lashon Hara Over Al Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's an amazing statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and that's Istakel Baraisu Bara Alma. They parallel the five Motzos HaPeh, and all this is to bestow goodness upon man. So therefore, if a person uses the Hei that Motzos HaPeh properly, then he's really achieving the purpose of creation. If on the other hand he uses them, misuses them, and they become a source for Lashon Hara, and he's being pogam now, he's, so to speak, undermining the Kedusha of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, because Chamisha Chumshei Torah represents man using his power of speech for the ultimate good. And this person who spoke Lashon Hara, he's pogam, he blemishes, I don't know what word to use, or diminishes the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and their sanctity. Now let's get back to the Tzaras, the Mitzora. The Mitzora is guilty for speaking Lashon Hara. And the Gemara tells us in the Nedarim, HaMitzora Chashiv Kimeis, if he's quarantined, that he's fully away from society, he's like a dead person. And the Yerushalmi brings a raya from Aaron, who said to Moshe about Miriam, Alna Tehi Kimes. And therefore we see that Tzaras is equated with Misa. Why is Tzaras identified with Misa? Alna Tehi Kimes. And the answer is because once a person spoke Lashon Hara, and that's why he became a Mitzora, he has abused that great power of speech that God endowed him with. And by abusing that power, he's basically undermining the whole purpose of creation. Because the purpose of creation was for the five Chumashim, and now he's using, instead of using the mouth for the five Chumashim and to bring sanctity into the world, he abuses that power, and he's pogam in the very essence of life, in the sense of why and how God created the universe, created man. So now let's get back to the Shtei Tziporim. Remember we said at the outset that in addition to the Belzer approach, which was that there is a tzipora chaya for the omission of certain word of certain statements when there are great opportunities. Now we're going to offer a second idea, and that idea is what we call mesiras nefesh. There are two subcategories of mesiras nefesh, of self sacrifice. One is the mesiras nefesh of a person who's willing to, like Avraham Avinu, go into the Kibshon HaEtz. And then there's another category of Mesiras Nefesh. It doesn't mean giving up the physical body. It doesn't mean the willingness to be thrown into a Kibshon. But rather, it is a totally different entity. Adam chai b'olam hazeh chayim shel Torah u'mitzvos b'mesiras nefesh. And this is the famous statement of the Gemara Brachos, minayin shein divrei Torah miskayim el b'mi shememis atzmo le shenem azos Torah Adam ki yomis ba'ohel. So we're talking about now a mesiras nefesh, not of being willing to die at the stake or being thrown into the furnace, but mesiras nefesh meaning to take all the opportunities that you have in this world, the manifold opportunities and all the pleasures and all you can get involved in, and instead to dedicate yourself exclusively to Torah mitzvahs. That's called mesiras nefesh. And one who is dedicated to the study of Torah mitzvahs with this level of mesiras nefesh, that person has really achieved the entire purpose of the universe. The reason why God created man. Again, he has to be mamis atzma bo helishal Torah. It's not going to be easy. You just walk into a basement and walk out. But you need a mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh means you're willing to give up on other things. There are other pleasures that you can get involved in. But instead, the mesiras nefesh, you want to dedicate yourself to Torah and mitzvahs. Minayin she'ein divrei Torah miskayim el b'misha memis atzmo le shenem zos chukas zos Torah sa adam kiyomus ba'ol. Zos ha'Torah referring to the kiyum ha'Torah, and adam kiyomus ba'ol means he kills himself to learn Torah. He cuts down the hours of sleep. He doesn't get involved in this or that. He is totally, exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah. So now we're not talking about mesiras nefesh in the physical sense, but rather in the sense of dedicating himself to the Torah, to the study of Torah. Eina kavana sheyomis atzmo befal, ella sheyomis es kol hatayros v'inyonei olam hazeh shel guf v'chomer. That itself is a kind of self-sacrifice when he gives up on all the pleasures of the body. And if that be the case, when we talk about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, take a look at the Nusach of the Piyut on Rosh Hashanah, and we say to God, Avram Avinu, no mention of Yitzchak, why all the emphasis on Avram Avinu? And the answer is that Yitzchak would have to die. Okay, I don't know how long it takes to die, it's not pleasant. But that's it. Once you die, you've given up your life for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. But in the case of Avraham Avinu, he's the father. This is his only beloved son. Meaning his And now Avraham Avinu is going to live his entire life with the memory of having taken his own son that he loved so much and having brought him as a korban. So whose nisayon is greater? Is it that of Yitzchak or that of Avram? I think if we took a census, many people would say that Yitzchak really should get the credit. He's the one who is nekar al gavi mizbeah. But the answer is no. It's Avram Avinu. For him it's a greater nisayon. And that's why we ask Hashem, V'teiroi lefanecha kedesh ha'okad Avram Avinu es Yitzchak, that Avram Avinu is able to save, and that Avram Avinu is able to or willing to shecht his son and live out his whole life with that agony. Wherever he turns, where is my son? To be able to reach that level, that's the nisayon of Avram Avinu. That's not a nisayon of death, that's a nisayon of life. To live a life of mesiras nefesh. The first nisayon, which is one of ten in an ascending order, that is kivshan eish, very difficult nisayon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Avraham Avinu, cools off the flames, and now we get to the highest nisayon, and that is the Akedis Yitzchak. Well, why do we talk about this ten nisayonos of Avraham Avinu? What about the nisayon to Yitzchak? So he quotes the Nezer HaKodesh, Hatzar Eino Lefisha. In the case of Yitzchak, it's Lefisha. In the case of Avraham Avinu, who shechts his son Yechido, Asher Ov Oso B'Av Ava Azo, Hinei Hoya Shochet Oso, Im Hoya Shochet Oso Hoya Olu Litztayr Tzar Tmidi Kol Yimei Chayav Al Avedis Bino. For the entire life, he's going to be mitztayer always, constantly. Where is my son? And nevertheless, Avraham Avinu understands this, anticipates this, but he's willing to give up his life, that kind of life, I don't mean his physical life, for the sake of Avas Hashem, shecht his son, and therefore the nisayon is called Akedas. What's the pasuk say? Lefanei she'oked Avraham Avinu es Yitzchak bino. Okay, I'm looking at the clock here, and I'm thinking that it's getting a little late. So let's just see if we can now explain the two tziporim. So for this, if you have another 5 minutes, we want to fast forward. And as I always tell you, you'll have to fill in the blanks on your own. Let's take a look on page 4 and begin to understand the two tziporim. He says the following. This is the next to last paragraph. He says, "Me'ata ye'iru einenu lahovin inyan avah shtei tziporim. Hine, heyos shepogam b'diburo." Correct, the Metzora is guilty of misusing his power of speech. Shemakoro minishmas chayim. Right, that the greatest gift of life that God could bestow upon man is the power of speech. That's the neshama of Ayipapiapam Nishmas Chayim. Therefore, as a result of misusing this power of life, he, meaning the Mitzorah, deserves to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis on him. And what does he do? He brings him Tzoras. Why Tzoras? Because Chazal say the Gemara Nedarim, Arba Chashuv V'Kemes, a Mitzoras Chashuv V'Kemes. What is God saying? Instead of taking your life immediately, I'm going to give you an extension. I'm going to give you a period of time. Use that time to be metaken, to rectify your sin. Do an absolute tshuva, tshuva gemura. And therefore, on the yom of his tara, he's got to bring two tziporim. Initially, they're both alive, but one is going to be shechted. That's a remez that he has to fix up his pagam in the makar chiyuso, in the very root, the very source of his life. He's got to be willing to be moser nefesh like this tzipora, to give up his life al kedushas Hashem. But yet, as Yechezkel announces, lo echpots b'mos hames, but rather ki im b'shuva v'chaya, Hashem would rather a person live al kiddush Hashem than die al kiddush Hashem. Therefore, Kosh Baruch Hu commands the second tzipora, they leave it alive. And they dip it into the blood of the shchuta. This is a remez that tzarech labras Hashem b'chayim chiyuso. Take the blood, which is your very nefesh, and live a life of mesiris nefesh. Be willing to live an entire life alive with mesiris nefesh. And then you have achieved the second tzipora, the tzipora of life, which represents living a life of Mesiris Nefesh. Meshalchin osal pnei asodeh. The shlichus in this world is to serve Hashem at any time, in any place, with Mesiris Nefesh. Let's mention the Matzis HaShekel. That's a super commentary on the Magen Avraham. And he writes that V'teira lefanecha, we ask Hashem on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he says the nisayon of Avram Avinu to shecht his son Yechido Asher Ahavo, who was born to him at the age of 100 and be mitztayer all of tzar tmidi kol yimei chayim. That was the greatest nisayon, and it was Yoser Gadol mi nisayon shel Yitzchak Avinu shelohaya el lefi shah ad seis nafsho. So the nisayon of the Akedah is attributed to Avram Avinu, not because there's no Nisayon for Yitzchak, but rather because the Nisayon for Yitzchak is a Mesiris Nefesh as a Karban Ola, but it's only Lashah. The suffering, the anguish of Avram Avinu on the other is infinite. It'll accompany him his whole life. And therefore the Mesiris Nefesh of living a life and still being able to take with you all the tzar and move forward, that's personified by Avraham Avinu. Mesiris Nefesh shel Chayei Torah, he's alive, Avraham Avinu, yet he has to dedicate himself to Avodas Hashem, to Chayei Torah. And these two dimensions of Mesiris Nefesh really complement each other. If a person is willing to be Moser Nefesh b'chiyuso, b'gufo, before mamish, then he's also mesugal, he has the potential to be Oved Hashem with Chaim of Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh as a live being. And on the bottom of page 3, he adds that on Rosh Hashanah, when we say v'tirol fenecha Avram Akedish Hakad Avram Avinu, etc. So he says that when the Mishnah says Kol Mashem Bara Kodesh Baruch Hu Bolomo Lo Bro El Lechvodo, and the question is Lefia Ola Aladas on top page 4 of Ashkof Rishona Bielu Habocharim Birav Lo Bitov. Those who choose evil is nedar chasushon kavanoso yisparch bebriyosam ki ein misrava behem kvod shamayim. If God created the world as we saw, lo bro el lechvodo, these people are evildoers, they're undermining the covenant of Hashem, is how is it possible she'yeoder kavanoso b'shum pam halo atzas Hashem li'olam tamo u'machshavos libo l'dor v'dor. So when man does evil, is he undermining the will of God? And the answer is, says the Yismach Moshe, Adarabba, even through the rishus of the poshim, there's a ribuy of kvod shemaim, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to mete out punishment from his enemies. Whether it's in this world, and then there's a yiskal of yiskal shmei rabba, or in the next world, about which the Chazal say in Medrash, Godol akilu sha'ola min ha-gehenom, shemodim v'shabchim atzdikin alei v'sadin, v'omrim yofe dantonu, yofe chiyav tonu, Hashem atzadik v'anachnu roshoy, im ken gam mi'elu shmo miskal al miskadish. V'akehefesh ki tzadikim, v'tzadikim shmo miskal al miskadish, v'shas kiyumam, ki tiloso bekal chasidim, kvod malchuso yomru gvorosu yedaberu. Mi'anshe rosh nitzmach kvod shamayim, v'shas ivodom v'lo v'shas kiyumon. So when Shlomo HaMelech says Kol Paul Hashem L'maneinu V'gam Rosh L'yom Ra, it means Kol Masher Paul Hashem Bi'olam Lo Paul Rak L'maneinu She Yisrabe Kvod Shamayim V'gam Rosh Yotzi V'menu Kiddushem Shamayim L'yom Ra Kasher Sososo Mismalei V'kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra M'menu Oz Miskadei Shmo Yisbaruch Ba'olam Nimtzach Shigam Al Yidei Rishon Miskadei Shmo Shal HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So there's an amazing difference here between the Kvod Shamayim that is revealed through the Ovdei Hashem with their very lives, and the Kiddush Shamayim through the death and the punishment of the Rishayim. And Kol Paul Hashem L'maneu, and that's going to be Kiddush Hashem. V'nosan l'anu chai olam v'nota v'nosan l'anu Torah 7 chai olam v'nota b'sochenu Matov Manoim. There's a great deal of Kiddush Hashem going on here, and we can begin to understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the Mitzvah to bring on his Yom Tov Shtei Tziporim, then what it means is that there's certain avonos like Chil Hashem that don't have kaporoth ela kiyum b'misa. But the Eitzah is that a person should be Moser Nefesh B'Kavanos Al Kiddush Hashem and Al Yidei Zeh Yichoshekilu Mes Befoal V'Yizkeh L'Kapora Ki'ilu Hu Mes. In other words, even though there are certain sins that you cannot achieve the Kapora until death, but nevertheless God gives a person the opportunity to be Moser Nefesh and get the Kapar of Misa even without dying. Kefi Kemisha Niftamer Olam, it's almost as if he died, and that means with his Kavanas Alev. And so the Tzipar Chaya, as we said before, represents a person who will dedicate his life to Avodas Hashem B'chiyuso B'mesiris Nefesh. And the very fact that he's Mukhan Mezuman to be Moser Nafsho, that itself is going to be his Tikkun and Meshalchan Osal Pnei Asodeh. It's a remnant on his Shlichuso, Bol Mazeh, Lavanus Hashem, and Mesiris Nafsho.